a good move. Why aren't you dancing?
Dancing is forbidden. Dancing is forbidden. Dancing is forbidden.
Yoo-hoo, running crew, welcome to Dancing is Forbidden. I am Ronnie, lifelong fan of and one-time voice on Aqua Teen Hunger Force. And on this podcast, we are watching through and talking about every Aqua Teen episode.
Daddy!
Ezekiel, hold on, dude. It's not time yet. Just wait a second. Jesus Christ. Every Aqua Teen episode, one episode at a time. And the episode we are watching through and talking about this week is Season 4, Episode 12, Ezekiel. All right, do it.
Daddy!
This guy, dude, like, he shows up like I'm his dad. I know I'm not, but I'm a little starstruck, so I'm letting him hang around. Ezekiel making its Adult Swim debut on December 17th, 2006. In this episode, Shake takes on the greatest role of his life, that of a father. Very excited to cover Ezekiel this week. It's an episode I've been looking forward to deep diving on the podcast, and one that you may be excited about because I've gotten like 1,000 messages of people asking, when are you covering Ezekiel? So it's nice to know there's some excitement around this one. I don't know when I saw this one, but I do know I saw it a long time ago. This is one that's always been in my head as just a great Aqua Teen episode, a classic season 4 episode. So I think we're in for a good time. I could do a shit-ass podcast that sucks, and I think it'll still be good because Ezekiel is such a good Aqua Teen episode. So before I can do a shitty-ass sucky podcast for you, you know, as always, we've got some other stuff to talk about first. First up, our Aqua Teen news this week, and I want to let you know about Aqua Teen character designer Matt Jenkins. He is an artist on Aqua Teen, or he was, starting from the very first episode in Rabot. Matt was heavily involved in the first 3 seasons of Aqua Teen and Colon Movie Film for theaters. Then he did some stuff on season 4. He went away for a little bit, but then he came back in season 8. He directed some of the intros to the show. He was the animation director on Plantasm. Matt Jenkins, he's a very important person to Aqua Teen. He is on Instagram, and he has been uploading some of his character art there of these characters. I mean, he designed such little characters as Master Shake. You know who that is? Maybe you know about Carl from Aqua Teen. Yeah, you can thank Matt Jenkins for that. So check him out on Instagram. That is Matthew I. Jenkins. Link in the description. And I do want to say that Matt, he is selling original production slides from Aqua Teen. Remember, a lot of these early animations were done on paper, and he's selling these papers that they used for this show. And he's also open to commissions. So if you want to get yourself done, for example, as an Aqua Teen character, Matt's the one who would handle a lot of those real life characters like George Lowe, Jay Edwards. Like, he would do these real people on Aqua Teen. So you can get yourself done up in an Aqua Teen style as well if you so choose. Again, that is Matthew I. Jenkins on Instagram. Link in the description to this podcast episode. So that is a bit of our news this week. Check Matt out over there. He's uploading a lot of cool stuff. I will tell you ahead of time that Matt and I, we had a nice long conversation at the beginning of the month. I'm still waiting on my incredibly sexy and well-endowed editor to get that interview back to me edited so that I can upload it here. But my editor is taking a long time. He's saying he doesn't have a whole lot of time to do it these days. I'm the editor, by the way, so I'll get that as soon as I can. On to our podcast news here, our community stuff. Tito sent us a voice message. Let's check it out.
Hello, everybody. My name is Tito from, it's an Italian name. So today I want to share with you guys how I found out about Aqua Teen Hunger Force. So it was actually a few years ago on a Sunday night that I tuned into Adult Swim. Nan and I watched it on Prime Video. And I watched the episode Chicken and Beans. And I said, this is cool. But then I didn't care anymore for a few years. Then a few months ago, I saw a TikTok edit of the episode Jesus is I Killed Jesus. And I said, this looks cool. This looks fantastic. And I started watching it, and I actually really enjoyed Aqua Teen Hunger Force. Then a few weeks after I started watching, I tuned it to the podcast. My first episode was Superhero, and it was actually really cool. I really liked it. I liked the part where you go into detail on what music came out that day. That was that I really like. And yeah, this is actually my first podcast I ever listened, because I don't usually listen to podcasts. And yeah, this was pretty cool. This is podcast is pretty cool. I hope that I can end up in a podcast. And I'm just saying, I'm waiting for you to do the episode, Jesus is Like You, Jesus, because I really want to know your thoughts on it. Bye-bye.
Holy smokes, Tito. Thank you so much for this voice message. Tito, initially sleeping on Aqua Teen, but then coming back to it years later, Tito just needed a little reminder of the teens, and Tito was back in. Tito, thank you for listening so long. Superhero, that episode was quite a while ago. And now, you said you had an Italian name. Does that mean you live in Italy? You're listening in Italy, the home of the pizza pie? Holy cow, let me just tell you, I was enjoying some of your sweet cuisine just moments ago. Love it. See, now, I think the reason is I'm a quarter Italian on my mom's side. So my grandma was fully Italian, and I think that's why I inherited this very unique love of pizza that I don't know if many other people like pizza, but I certainly do. And I also inherited that Italian nose, which I guess helps me sniff out the za, as well as Aqua Teen facts, I guess. Tito, that's so cool to hear that this is like the first podcast you listen to. Podcasts are super important to me, so that means a lot. Like, that's why I'm doing one. That's crazy, right? Isn't that interesting? Wow. You like podcasts, so that's why you started one? What's next? You like Aqua Teen Hunger Force 2? I know, I'm blowing minds today. Tito, I got good news for you. We're covering Ezekiel today. Today is the day, and for you listening, I told you that people were asking for Ezekiel. I wasn't just making it up to seem cool at the beginning of the podcast episode. Ezekiel, it's in demand. What do you say we go talk about what was going on in pop culture in the United States the week that Ezekiel came out? Let's go figure it out. Raising his son all the way to the top of the box office this week, we have The Pursuit of Happyness. This film bringing in $26.5 million this week. And let me tell you, that's a lot more money than the guy who the film is based off of had when the film is set. So this film is based on Chris Gardner and his struggle as a homeless salesman who then takes on raising his son while he's struggling financially during this period. And playing Chris Gardner in this film, we have Will Smith. Now, I'm going to be careful about what I say because I don't need that guy coming here fucking smacking me in the face. Okay, if he did it to Chris Rock, he'll do it to me. But hopefully we don't got to say anything bad here, because the scores on this film are pretty good. It has an 8 out of 10 on IMDb, a 67% on Rotten Tomatoes, which isn't too hot. But the film, it did well, and it got some pretty good reviews here, particularly with Will Smith's acting. I'm going to say now as coverage to myself, Will Smith is the best actor ever, and his family is all the best ever, so I'm just... that's just insurance here. Speaking of which, this is his son, Jaden Smith's debut film. So this is his debut role. Him and his dad playing father and son on screen, and I can't help but just recognize, you know, this mirrors the Aqua Teen episode we're talking about today. We have Shake taking on his new son, and in Pursuit of Happyness, we have Willie Smith taking on his son as well. You love to see it, but what you don't love to see is that there is no shared cast or crew between The Pursuit of Happyness or Aqua Teen Hunger Force. I know, I'm just as shocked as you are that Will Smith never went on to do Aqua Teen, but look, them's the facts, all right? I'd like to think when they did season 12 of Aqua Teen, they had the decision between asking Will Smith to do the voice line of Grocery Clerk in that episode, and the other choice was me, and I like to think that they picked me over Will Smith, and that's the story I'm going with. So that's our film. Let's give a listen to our top album this week. Rockin' and rollin' all the way to the top of the Billboard albums chart this week, we have Light Grenades by Incubus. Incubus selling over 165,000 copies this week. And this is surprising to see, particularly in 2006, when we really start to see R&B and rap dominate these charts a lot more than we had seen in previous years, to have this kind of alternative rock album here popping up, a little bit of a surprise. But this is Incubus's first number one album. They were a big band in the late 90s, particularly with a kind of new metal sound to them. They're not a band I know a whole lot about. I've heard the first few records and their best-selling records, but this is their first album to hit the number one position on the Billboard Top 200 Albums chart. So congrats to them. Despite this, many consider this to kind of be their downfall as a band, because after this, their albums aren't really considered as good as previous material. And yeah, I'm just not super knowledgeable on Incubus. I did listen to this record for this podcast, and honestly, gun to my head, I couldn't even give you a single melody from it. I couldn't tell you anything about it. In fact, I already forgot what that previous song I played was. That song is Anomaly. I couldn't even tell you how that went. I don't know why. For me, Incubus, it's just in one ear, out the other. But I mean, they're a very successful act, and I do want to say that they're coming out with a new record. So I listened to those singles here in 2024, and I like them a lot, particularly the single Echo. I thought was pretty good. But we do have an explanation from the singer Brandon Boyd on the title on this album. He explains where the album title Light Grenades came from. And this is some Xavier Renegade Angel-ass shit. So I'm going to read it the best I can, like Xavier, because I could see this being in an episode of that show. So, when asked about the album title, Boyd explained, "There's a song called that on the record, and it felt like the most pertinent conceptual aspect of the album. The idea of throwing ideas at problems, and the ideas exploding with light and good results and intention on consciousness. So, I started imagining imagery of students in different countries protesting and throwing Molotov cocktails with masks over their faces. But there's one brave student who runs up to the police line, and as opposed to throwing rocks or things that destroy, there's this concept of the one courageous, lonely student lonely, running up and throwing ideas, having them change things. It seemed kind of a cool concept, the redefining of weaponry." So that is Brandon Boyd auditioning, I guess, for Xavier Renegade Angel as a writer, although that show comes out a year later, but maybe he got wind that they were working on it. Not really sure, but God damn it, any patrons listening in, you can expect to hear a lot of that when we cover Xavier on the Patreon later this year. And let me tell you, it's 100% happening. So that is our top album this week. What is our top single? All right. I got to fade it out somewhere. I don't want to fade this song out, this certified classic, but I got it. That is Beyoncé with Irreplaceable, our top single this week. I mean, it's the To the Left song. This song was a smash hit, but I do want to say that Aqua Teen Hunger Force's song about directions walked so that Beyoncé's Irresistible could run.
This is your left, that's your left. This is your right, that's your right. This is your right, you're gonna die.
So respect where respect is due, and this is the narrative I've been pushing for several years now. It's very important to me on a deep mental and sexual level that Aqua Teen Hunger Force gets this credit from Beyoncé. So the song was actually mainly written by the artist Ne-Yo. And the song went through several iterations with even different singers. For example, originally it was like a country record sang by a man, I think. They had men try and singing it. Originally it was written from a man's perspective. they tried out with a few other singers. I guess Ne-Yo had people like Shania Twain and Faith Hill in mind when he wrote it, but eventually Beyonce got a hold of it and she did her thing with it, and it is the smash hit that we all know and love. Good to see Beyonce popping back up here, especially after Jay-Z was on the last podcast episode. Holy cow, we got a full dynasty situation going on here between these two on this podcast specifically. I'm sure they're very excited by that. So yes, our top track this week, it is Irreplaceable. I do have some music news for you, this very near and dear to my heart. On December 13th, 2006, so that is 4 days before Ezekiel airs, Korn's original drummer, David Silveria, leaves the band to manage his restaurant. At this point in 2006, I am firmly a black metal boy. That's all I'm listening to. So I kind of moved past Korn at this point. But in 2005, 2004, they were my favorite band. So I remember kind of when that happened. And since then, David never came back to the band. And there's been a lot of fighting publicly between him, really just him throwing shade at the band because they don't want him back now. Like, they're not letting him back in, even though he wants to return. And he's just slagging them in the press. It's a big old mess. But yeah, the week before Ezekiel airs is when that goes down. For any Korn heads out there, any freaks on a leash, you'll know what's going on with that. So that is our music this week. Jumping over to our video games. As always, I've said it a lot on this podcast, because Aqua Teen tends to air towards the end of the year. That isn't always the case going forward, but that's true of up until this point. At the end of the year here, in mid to late December, there's usually no good video games coming out because they already put all the good ones out in time for Christmas, Black Friday shopping, and things like that. But we do have a couple things to mention. First up, Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess comes to the GameCube, which we already talked about that on the podcast. Originally, it was out on the Wii. Now, this week, they are putting it out on the older console, the GameCube. That is how I played a bit of the game back in like 2014 or so. We have Shrek Smash and Crash Racing coming to the PlayStation Portable. Never played that game, but I bet that's a fun time. You can't go wrong with Shrek, okay? That's my point in all this. The game I want to talk about is Fullmetal Alchemist Dual Sympathy coming to the Nintendo DS this week. And I've talked about Fullmetal Alchemist on the podcast. It is a show that aired on Adult Swim, not really on our Sunday lineups, but on Saturdays. So that's where I first saw Fullmetal Alchemist. I wasn't really that crazy about it when I saw it as a kid, but I came to like it more as an adult in like 2015 or so. But when I finished the original, the 2003 anime, I was like, huh, I wonder if there's any video games based on this franchise, because I could see that working very well. And there are some games, mainly like PlayStation 2 games, that I think are okay, but there aren't really any games that I think did the series a full justice. Like, they weren't as good as they could have been. And this game, Dual Sympathies, on the Nintendo DS, being a mobile system, an underpowered mobile system, I say that as somebody who had and loved a DS back in the day. This game particularly is not that good, is my understanding. They're trying to fit the entire 52-episode story arc kind of into like a 4 to 5 hour game or something. So as you can imagine, it doesn't do that well. The reviews on the game aren't that great. Yeah, pretty disappointing. I wonder if one day that somebody would make a really great Fullmetal Alchemist game, but I guess time will tell. So all right, it is December 17th, 2006, and you love adaptations. You go crazy for them. You love seeing one form of media portrayed a different way. Will Smith, he killed it in The Pursuit of Happyness. You loved the book, and you love that movie even more. You are watching Incubus's Animali video on repeat due to it being a loose adaptation of Alfred Hitchcock Presents Breakdown. You just can't believe they went there. You love the classics, and they went with the classics. And of course, you bought that Fullmetal Alchemist video game, even though it was just okay. As long as it's an adaptation, you're living between worlds here. You just don't know what they're gonna adapt next. And of course, look, Adult Swim's coming on. You gotta watch it to see if there's any sort of adaptation within it, because lots of shows, including Aqua Teen and, I don't know, Family Guy, Robot Chicken, etc., they love to do some adaptations of their own. So tuning in tonight, what are you gonna see on Adult Swim? First up at 10 p.m., we have Futurama with A Leela of Her Own. This being a baseball-centric episode, Leela becomes the first female Major League Blurnsball player. I remember this one. I have to wonder if Aqua Teen producer, editor, voice actor J. Wade Edwards, I wonder if he likes this one. Now that's a question. After that, at 10:30 p.m., we have, oh, you'll never believe it, Aqua Teen Hunger Force with Ezekiel, the episode we are discussing today. This being a new episode, you know that. That's why we're talking about it. 10:45 p.m., we have, you guessed it, yet again, Aqua Teen Hunger Force with Season 2, Episode 23's The Cloning.
Shake, what did I tell you about messing with my cloner?
Fred, I am so sorry about it. You know what? I really should have taken your feelings into consideration.
No, about that. I'm the one who's sorry, okay? I'm sorry I made the cheerleading squad and you didn't.
It's okay. You were the better cheerleader.
Well, I was no slouch. Did you see me do those cartwheels?
I identify with that.
A pretty funny coincidence, I didn't even realize this when I played the This Is Your Left, This Is Your Right song that, of course, shows up in this episode. But worth mentioning, that song first popped up a few episodes earlier in Season 2, Episode 11's Universal Remonster. But yes, we have The Cloning on tonight, a great, great Aqua Teen episode, super quotable, a very fun one to cover on the podcast because we have the footage of Matt and Dave writing that episode, so we got to see how it all came together. So that was a very fun podcast episode to make. If you haven't heard that one yet, go listen to it, you silly goose. What are you doing? After The Cloning, at 11 p.m., we get Family Guy with Mother Tucker. 11:30 a.m. brings us a new episode here, and from now on, it's going to be all new episodes until the end, so just think that all these are new, okay? We have Assy McGee with Busted. 11:45, we have Metalocalypse with The Metalocalypse Has Begun. Midnight, we have Squidbillies with A Sober Sunday. The plot of that one is Dan Halen introduces Proposition 421 to overturn the laws barring liquor sales on Sundays. And I'm down with that. I don't understand why there's certain days that, like, in some places you can't sell liquor or whatever. It's so stupid. That's been a big surprise of mine moving to Minnesota, where the liquor laws are a bit more, they're a bit more locked down. Which doesn't make sense to me, especially because, get this, there's a brewery in town that my wife and I were at. They make like seltzers and stuff. And we went to buy some to take home because they sell cans as well. And they're like, oh, no, sorry, we can't sell you cans right now. It's too late. But we were at the bar. Like, we could still buy them to drink there, but we couldn't buy them to take home. I don't understand it. I don't get it at all. I'm with you, Dan Halen. 12:15 a.m., we get Moral Oral with God's Blunders. 12:30 a.m., Frisky Dingo with Flowers for Neural. It's like the word pearl, but with an N instead. 12:45 a.m., we have our last new episode of the night. We have 12-Ounce Mouse with Prolegomenon, which is the second-to-last episode of the second season of 12-Ounce Mouse. And that second season, the 2006 season here, is the last 12-Ounce Mouse until 2018, with the TV film Invictus, or the special, I guess, and then it comes back again in 2020 with another season. But yes, this is the second to last episode of 12-Ounce Mouse for quite a while. After that, we get 1 a.m. with the Venture Bros Showdown at Cremation Creek Part 2, and 1:30 a.m., we end the night with The Oblongs, Father of the Bride. So that's our lineup this week, a solid one yet again, no shortage of new episodes. You gotta love it. But the new episode that we want to talk about most of all, it's Ezekiel. Why don't we go do it right now? Let's head over there. Come on now.
Check it out. Check it out, y'all. Check it out.
Dancing is Forbidden is supported by the generosity of the Moon Masters over at patreon.com/dancingisforbidden. Without these Moon Masters, I would not be able to keep doing this podcast. And also, eventually, we might defeat the Gorgatron and save our craps. Whatever. Blah, 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 blah. You get the idea. It means the world to me that there are supporters of this show who, instead of giving money to their kids, for example, they give it to the podcast here because they love Aqua Teen Hunger Force so dang much. And signing on at the duffel bag of cash tier this week, we have Vinny and Drew B, both of them signing up back on November 21st of 2023. At the same time, they double-teamed the Patreon that day, And these are both men of mystery because I asked, hey, what's up? How's it going? Tell me a little bit about yourself. And I got crickets back. These two, they're too busy defeating the Gorgatron to even think about replying to me on Patreon. But that's all right. That's not their obligation. They're supporting the show. They're not my employee now. They don't have to respond to me whenever I demand it. So that's okay. Vinny, Drew, appreciate the hell out of both of you. Hope you're enjoying all the exclusive episodes over there on the Patreon. We're taking a little break for now from episodes while I, refresh my batteries, recharge my batteries. But we'll be getting back to more exclusive episodes this year. And also, we're going to be starting up our watch parties. In fact, there's going to be one on Friday, March 29th, the week that this episode, Ezekiel, comes out. So if you're listening now, you want to join the watch party. That is patreon.com/dancingisforbidden. Sign up at the $5 and up level and get in there. Link in the description. Hope to see you there.
Coming up next, Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
Ezekiel making its Adult Swim debut on December 17th, 2006, this episode airing with a TV-14 rating, which makes sense to me because while the episode isn't inherently that bad, like what happens in it, there are some situations that I could see that being necessary. For example, Shake trying to kill himself. We also see a gun in the episode, so I think that's a fair rating. Our voice cast on this one, we have our typical three, Dana Snyder, Carrie Means, and Dave Willis. And our guest star in this episode is Shecky Chucklestein, a name we've heard on the podcast before, this being a fake name for Mr. Patton Oswalt. A refresher in why some people used fake names on Aqua Teen is because Aqua Teen at this time was not a union show, so any union actors that went on the show had to go under fake names, basically. So Patton here, choosing Shecky Chucklestein, and we've heard that on the podcast before. We've heard Patton on the podcast before because he plays the frat aliens DP and Skeeter in the season 2 episodes Frat Aliens and The Last One. He reprises that role there, and then reprising that role again in 2022 with the Aquadonk side piece Frat Aliens Hell Week. So Patton, no stranger to Aqua Teen. And I just want to say up front, this really intrigued me, the way that Patton played these already like pretty popular characters, the Frat Aliens, and then he comes back to play Ezekiel here. So I reached out to Aqua Teen co-creator Dave Willis asking about this. However, Dave, he's on vacation, so he said, hey, can I get back to you when I'm back home? And I said, yeah, absolutely, that's totally fine. So if you're listening to this podcast in March of 2024, when this episode is dropping, then when Dave gets back to me, I will put up an episode just reading through his email there, a separate episode. If you're listening to this far in the future, like a few months after that, then I will throw that on the end of this podcast episode. So that's if Dave gets back to me. I assume that he has a lot to say if he, requested to respond later. So we'll see what he's got there, but wanted to let you know about that. The last thing I want to say about Patton is, since we already discussed him on the podcast, just go check out the Frat Aliens episode if you haven't heard that one. I'm not going to go through his history again here because he's amazing. I could go on forever for how great Patton Oswalt is. So on to our editors on this episode. On the ones and twos, we got the dynamic duo. We haven't seen these two credited together at all this season, I don't think, outside of the deleted scenes episode. And that is Mr. J. Wade Edwards and Mr. Ned Hastings. Both of these guys are editing on this one with an editing assist by Harold Sellers. Harold also did some assistant editing on Moonawana this season, so go check that one out where we get into Harold. But yes, J. Edwards, Ned Hastings, two incredibly important people to Aqua Teen. Without these two, Aqua Teen would not be what it is. And in earlier seasons, like season 2, we would see these two credited a lot together. We haven't really seen that this season. Normally, we're down to just kind of one editor and maybe an edit assist. But on this episode, the boys are back. They're bringing it. So what exactly are Ned and Jay bringing? I'll tell you. We open in on this episode. We are very close up on Carl's door. We hear a doorbell ring. Carl answers the door. Which, side note, we don't actually see a doorbell on Carl's door anywhere, but regardless, Carl answers the door, and then we just get, like, his view, his point of view, which is a very rare thing that we occasionally get in Aqua Teen, where we're seeing from a character's perspective. We basically see straight out the door, we don't see anything, but then Carl looks down, and we see a cute little fella on his doorstep here. Visually, this character looks like Master Shik, except he's tiny, he's very small, and his eyes and mouth are different. They're a little bit more cartoony, a little bit cuter, a little bit sweeter looking than Master Shik. So it looks to be like something similar to Shik. He's gonna call Carl his daddy. Carl instantly shuts this down. He sends him next door. So this little fella, he's gonna wander over next door. He's very cute because he's so small. He walks over there. Shake's gonna answer the door. He's gonna say, no, you're not my son. He's gonna try and send this guy back to Carl's house. At which point, Carl's standing there with a sawed-off shotgun. He's not having any of this. Thankfully, Frylock's gonna answer the door and, he's going to see there's quite the clear resemblance here that Shake is denying.
Daddy?
Next door, jackass.
Daddy!
No. You're probably thinking the guy next door. Big fat guy. You take care.
That's right. Get lost.
Hi. Can I help you?
Daddy?
I don't think so. But you do look like someone I know.
Mommy?
But that's impossible because he has no penis.
Shake having no penis. I love, you know, we're going to see this throughout the episode. These jokes of Shake not having sex, but then according to Shake, he's like a ladies' man. But I love the way that they play with Shake's, I guess, incelness, as Dave Willis would describe it. But there's just a lot of humor here in the fact that this character obviously is based off of Shake's design, and Shake right away just being like, no, I'm not related to you. Get out of here. So I want to address this shotgun that Carl is holding because it's not the typical wood grain shotgun that we've seen in previous episodes. For example, this season with Hand Banana, Carl has a shotgun and it's the wood grain shotgun. We see it back in season 2 in the cloning, an episode we've referenced a lot in this podcast so far. And I believe that we originally saw in season 2, episode 8's Super Squatter when Carl shoots himself in the foot. And I don't really recall any guns in season 1 outside of Jiggle Billy's musket, which makes sense given the stricter kid vid laws that they had to abide by back then. But in this shot here, Carl is holding a black sawed-off shotgun that we haven't seen yet. And this is technically our first time seeing this shotgun. However, this is a Colin movie film for theaters asset, which that film is not out yet. It comes out about 4 months or so after this episode airs. So in Colin movie film, you could see the shotgun towards the end of the film when Shake blows Meatwad up and then Neil Peart has to do the drum solo of life to bring Meatwad back. That is the same shotgun that Carl is holding here. So I actually found a Reddit thread of somebody asking specifically about this shotgun, which was fun to see. So I reached out to Bob Pettit, Aqua Teen's art director, Aqua Teen's prop designer, and background artist. I reached out to Bob asking about the shotgun. Bob said, looks like I used a Mossberg Model 88 pistol grip shotgun for reference, then sawed off the barrel. The short-barreled shotguns are often known colloquially as riot guns, as opposed to the longer-barreled hunting guns. More easily concealable and quicker to maneuver and aim. Otherwise, you have to hide it in a long cardboard box like Clemenza in The Godfather 1 before you blow away rival Dons in an elevator. And then Bob attached a photo of that. So, yeah, this shotgun here being based off of the Mossberg Model 88, but Bob took his own artistic liberties for it. Bob does say, though, that he thinks he ended up redoing the original wood-grained shotgun anyway at some later point, because they must have needed multiple guns in a scene. So I believe we will see that wood grain shotgun pop back up eventually, but for now, they're going with this black one here. So Carl, he successfully evaded this little fella here who's visiting, but Shake isn't so lucky. Frylock is going to invite this visitor inside. The little guy is going to want Shake to pick him up. Shake's not going to want to do it. Frylock will do it, but you'll hear he's not going to like that very much.
Hey, Is he gone?
No, he's right here. You want to talk to him?
No, I don't.
Daddy.
Send him away.
Hey, little guy. Why don't you come in for a bit? Must be hot outside.
No, I don't.
Daddy?
Hey! We were just talking about you.
Yay! Daddy, up, please. Daddy, up, please. Yay! Daddy, up, please. Up. Please. Daddy,
pick him up, Shake. He wants to be picked up.
Please, pick him up.
Daddy, up, please.
Come here, little man. Look at you.
You gotta wash your hands before you pick a baby up. He can see the bacteria burning into his flesh.
Oh, the little guy's like crying. He's really upset. Shake is right here. Like, you should wash your hands before picking a baby up. I don't know that this is necessarily a baby, although I guess I'm looking at it from the human lens, because humans are born incredibly vulnerable, incredibly useless, incredibly stupid. Human babies make almost no sense. Of course, human babies have to be born that way. Otherwise, they'd be, you know, once they develop more in the womb, they wouldn't be able to be given birth to. They'd be too big. But other animals in the animal kingdom, some of them are born like ready to go, ready to rock and roll, ready to interface with the world. Not the case for humans here. I shouldn't let that cloud my view here, because I guess for Master Shake's race, whatever that might be, it's possible that the babies can come out talking and things like that. But my wife works in postpartum, so she takes care of mother and baby after baby's born. And my wife says that all the time. She's like, human babies are so, like, they're so helpless. It's crazy. Anyways, look, I can talk shit about babies. I used to be a baby at one point, so don't fucking at me on this one. Again, Shake is right. You should wash your hands before handling a baby. Keep that in mind. I think we have one bit of actual useful information from Master Shake in about 5 years of this show being on air at this point. I do want to mention, when we were outside earlier in the episode, and by earlier, I mean like, I don't know, 30 seconds ago, we saw through the Aqua Teen's window and we saw their green chair there. But now that they're all inside, that green chair is missing, which I think is very silly. Of course, they're always just moving props out of the way whenever suits the scene. I do want to shout out Master Shake hiding. He's basically hiding over in the hallway, peeking around the corner at the door to see if this little fella is still there. And I've said it before on the podcast that I love when they do this with the Aqua Teens, when they have them hide when somebody's at the door, because certainly something that I did growing up. You know, somebody knocks on the door, you fucking drop low. Peeking around furniture and shit like, who's there? Nobody's supposed to be here. So I love seeing that reflected here in Aqua Teen. So continuing on with our scene, Frylock is going to ask this little character, what's his name? Sadly, he doesn't have one.
What's your name, little man?
I don't have a name. No one ever gave me one.
Well, Shake, aren't you going to name your son?
Daddy.
Oh, is this your bastard?
Daddy.
He-Man!
Oh, now that you say it, I can totally see the resemblance. Especially in, like, the cup region. I don't know if you can see it, but I can definitely see you guys both looking cup-like.
Look, yes, I have banged hundreds of broads. Internationally. But know this, I rap my rascal two times. Because I like it to be joyless and without sensation. Is a way of punishing supermodels.
So, at some point in this scene, Frylock picks the little guy up, he hands him to Shake, and Shake holds him for a little bit, but then Shake just drops him. And then when you say Meatwad, like, oh, I do see the resemblance, we see them standing right next to each other, and even though they have different eye shapes, both characters here have the same eye color, because Master Shake has that kind of yellowish eye to him, so does this little character who's shown up here. And they do the exact same eye movements, too, at the same time. Like, they both look around the room in the exact same way. Both of the pupils are doing the same thing, which is great. A nice little detail there, really connecting these two. Again, really funny that Shake is denying it. And again, to the whole Shake saying, like, oh, I've had sex many times. He's banged hundreds of models internationally. He raps his rascal twice, which my understanding is you're not supposed to do, because the friction of two condoms rubbing together can cause them to break, thus rendering them useless. So there's a tip for you. Don't follow Master Shake on that and on basically everything else he's ever said, except for washing your hands before you touch a baby. But I don't see how that punishes models. I don't think that wearing two condoms would work the way that Shake thinks it does, which makes sense given he's actually never had sex before. And also, I guess, you know, from my perspective, having sex with Master Shake would probably be punishment enough. The point is, Shake is denying that Lil Shake is his son. Frylock's not buying it, but Shake, he really doesn't want this.
Yeah, well, let's see what a DNA test would say about that.
Oh, that's where it starts. Then pretty soon, he's going to want 65 cents for bus fare, liquor for his stomach. You know, I counsel dogs in better shape than you. Free jacking all around here like a Mick Jagger. Listen, why don't you go hustle on down to the soup kitchen, Mick?
Wait a minute, wait!
Don't go, come on!
Come back! Lil Shake?
So, Lil Shake running away, screaming his head off. We'll get back to that, don't worry. I want to address some of the things that Shake has said here. I like how he brings up, oh, next thing you know, he'll want 65 cents for bus fare. Like, what? I like, yeah, like, that's the worst thing that your kid could ask you for is 65 cents. Liquor for his stomach. I guess, you know, you wouldn't want to give your kid that. Shake brings up here, he says, you'll be free jacking like Mick Jagger. Mick Jagger is the singer of the Rolling Stones, a band that hopefully rings a bell for you because they're one of the biggest bands of all time. But that's not really what Shake is referencing here. He's referencing a film called Free Jack from 1992 that Mick Jagger starred in. And I never heard of this until now. It has a 5.4 out of 10 on IMDb, 25% on Rotten Tomatoes here. So it doesn't seem to be the best film ever, but it is a science fiction film. And the synopsis on this is absolutely wacky. Early in the 21st century, technological advances have made it possible for aging, wealthy people to pay crooks like Vasen Dak, played by Mick Jagger, to go back in time, kidnap young victims like race car driver Alex Furlong, played by Emilio Estevez, and deliver them to the elderly clients, who then have their brains transplanted into the healthy bodies. Furlong manages to break free from his captors, but as a fugitive, he finds that the world of the future is a bleak, dangerous place. So that is the film that Shake is loosely referencing here. He's really just referencing the name of Free Jack. But this actually reminds me of the film Get Out, actually a little bit similar there. But yeah, not surprised to get a science fiction reference in Aqua Teen. It's chock full of them. Matt Malero is a huge science fiction fan, and Dave Willis as well. But the plot on that film is like crazy. Like, going back in time and kidnapping somebody, especially a famous person, that would change the space-time continuum. And then, like, what about the implication there? And I guess if that's out the window anyways, why wouldn't you just get your own self kidnapped so that you can have your own body but younger? I don't really know. Whatever. All right, so jumping back into our scene here, Lil Shake ran away crying, and he's going to run over to the sidewalk where we see a car seat. He's going to strap himself in and just keep crying there. So we can assume he was just dropped off by somebody. And the episode never addresses this. It never addresses where he comes from. So that's a little bit interesting. You have to wonder what the backstory is there. I mean, up until this point, we could assume it was one of the hundreds of international models that Shake has banged at some point. They dropped him off in front of the Aqua Teen's house. So he's out there crying. Everyone's going to come outside following him. Frylock is going to invite this little guy into the family because, you know, Frylock, he has a heart. He has kind of this parenting nature to him. And the fact that he parents Meatwad explicitly in certain episodes, but also in a way he kind of parents Shake, if you think about it, not on like a father-child level like with Meatwad, but, you know, he really takes care of Shake. So Frylock's going to invite this guy into the family. Meatwad is going to give him a name. They're going to have a group hug. But Shake's not gonna, he's not gonna be a part of it.
Daddy, no, want me. I'm gonna take a bus to Reno.
Oh no, that won't do. Why don't you just stay here with us? Until you're old enough to leave home.
Hooray! Daddy, hooray!
Yeah. Huzzah.
I want to name him. Can I name him?
No, he's my son. No, he's not my son. Nobody can prove that.
I'm gonna name you. Jesus, Ezekiel, Jesus. And that's from the Bible.
Ezekiel?
That's a good name, Ezekiel.
Ezekiel, I am Ezekiel. That is me. Ezekiel is I am.
Does everybody have a group hug for Ezekiel?
Group hug, group hug.
Group hug for Ezekiel. I'm the sheriff.
Come on in here, son.
Yeah, sit and spin.
So that is Shake walking away with a middle finger up. That is the cover art for this podcast episode. First things first, I would like to address the car seat that is left out on the sidewalk. That is the same one that we saw last season in season 3, episode 4's G-Wiz. Because Meatwad, you know, he gets pregnant, and then Frylock gets him a car seat as a gift. That is that same asset here. Ezekiel mentions that he's going to take a bus to Reno. I don't know if that's a reference to something. And truthfully, I'm only that familiar with Reno because of the brilliant Reno 911. So I don't know what that's in reference to. But Meatwad gives this little guy a name. He names him Jesus Ezekiel Jesus. And that's from the Bible. And Meatwad's not wrong there. That is from the Bible. You may be familiar with Jesus, that name. I think you could get that. Ezekiel is in reference to the book of Ezekiel, which contains the visions and prophecies of Ezekiel, whom the Lord called to minister to the Jewish captives in Babylon. The book shows that the Lord is mindful of his people wherever they are. So, Meatwad pulling some theological references here. So that brings me to the spelling on this episode title. The book of Ezekiel is spelled E-Z-E-K-I-E-L, and in basically all cases I've seen, that's how Ezekiel is spelled, with all E's, right? But on IMDb, which, who cares about that, but also on Adult Swim's website, it is spelled with an A. It is E-Z-E-K-I-A-L, instead of E-L at the end. And that is also similar to the Aqua Teen Hunger Force wiki. That's how it's spelled in every instance over there with an A. I consulted the DVD, and it's EL on the DVD. So I'm going to go with just all E's on this, especially because that's how the Book of Ezekiel is spelled. And worth mentioning, it's spelled with an E on Max, Apple TV, other streaming services, except for Adult Swim's website for some reason. I don't know where this misspelling came from. In fact, I was going with the misspelling for a little while, but now I just checked the DVD and saw there's an E at the end, so I'll just go with that. So some discrepancies on the spelling here, but again, I think you should just do all E's when you write out Ezekiel here. And also, yes, I love that his first and last name is seemingly the same thing. Jesus, Ezekiel, Jesus. Great job, Meatwad. A pretty wholesome moment, though, from Ezekiel being sad, bawling his eyes out, to being super excited. You know, Frylock's happy, Meatwad's happy, they're all group hugging, having a good time. Shake's not partaking in that, but it is a pretty sweet moment, especially for this show. So, continuing with that vein, for a little bit at least, we're gonna cut to Carl's backyard now. They are having Ezekiel swim around in Carl's pool. The pool is disgusting. Worth mentioning, this is not the disgusting pool seen earlier this season in Hand Banana. This is actually the dirty pool that we saw in Season 3, Episode 13's Spacegate World, aka Carl. So they're using that dirty pool asset, this dirty pool not having like the tarp in it, for example. There are two different kind of drawings of a nasty pool, but this is the Season 3 version. And little Ezekiel swimming around. He's got some orange floaties on his arms with little blue ducks on them. He's swimming, and then Shake's gonna come up, and he's gonna drop a cinder block right on poor Ezekiel's head, submerging him underwater.
Swimming, yay! Swimming!
Hey, Zeke, over here.
Swimming, yay!
Booga, 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 booga! Booga, booga, booga!
No, booga, booga! No, booga, booga!
Meanwhile, he can speak English, you know.
Booga, booga, booga. Well, that is English.
Come on, Zeke. Swim, Papa.
Oh, Papa. Swimming.
Come on, you
swimming.
Can do it.
There you go.
Swimming.
Shake, see?
Get it.
And here he goes.
No shake.
Yes, Frylock. Keep your chin up. You don't want to breathe that in.
Poor little Ezekiel. Earlier in the clip, he gets scared because Meatwad picks him up out of the water and just kind of playfully shakes him. Meatwad is trying to be fun, but Ezekiel doesn't like this. It scares him. It spooks him. He starts crying. It's so goddamn cute seeing Ezekiel swim in the pool. Really, just because of his size. He's so tiny compared to the rest of the characters. He's so innocent. We don't normally get a character like this in Aqua Teen. I mean, usually the closest character is Meatwad, who they don't always play in an innocent way. But Ezekiel here, right now, so far, he is just pure, pure innocence and pure cuteness. I really get a kick out of this little fella. It's nice seeing him have fun, even though this pool is so gross. I can't believe Frylock is letting him swim in that. But, I mean, I guess it wouldn't hurt you, right? It's not unsafe. It's just pool grime and leaves and pine cones and stuff. Carl presumably just letting them swim in the pool here. He's not coming out to yell at them. You would think Carl would be like, all right, look, you can use my pool if you clean it. I think that would be a fair trade, but even then, I don't know that the Aqua Teens would do that. But you would think with Frylock's superpowers that maybe he could do something, or with his science technology, whatever. Point is, Shake, he drops a cinder block on little Ezekiel, and this reminds me of Season 1, Episode 16's PDA, where we have Shake, he has the rent-a-hoist where he's holding Meatwad underwater. And that reminds me of that here, because he's like trying to drown Meatwad in that episode, and he's trying to drown poor Ezekiel here. And that's a thread we will see going forward with this episode, is that in recent seasons, Shake and Meatwad's dynamic has changed from Shake just basically bullying Meatwad every single episode, being like a mean older brother, to them being more equals, being more of friends. I mean, Shake still dogs on Meatwad, but he doesn't abuse him in the same way, at least as frequently. So in this episode, Ezekiel will really be taking the place of like a Season 1 Meatwad, who's just this pure, innocent, sweet character that Shake is trying to abuse and kill. However, in our next clip now, Shake's not the only one trying to do that, so Meatwad's gonna lift the cinder block off of Ezekiel. Ezekiel will resurface, he'll come up, he'll cough up some water, and then they'll discuss how they can't afford college for Ezekiel, so then Meatwad will go to mercy kill Ezekiel, who at that point is laying on the ground. He'll pick the cinder block back up, and he's about to slam it on Ezekiel's head, but Frylock will stop him, and then they'll have some discussion on Ezekiel's future.
Are you okay?
I am a swimmer!
You could have drowned in there, sir.
He was right.
I know. That's why I did it. We can't afford college.
That's wrong. I'm so sorry.
Look, will y'all both hold on? No one's going to college, all right? When he gets to be old enough, he can work security at the mall.
Yay, security at the mall! I'm gonna shine a flashlight.
My son is not going to be secure for anything. He is going to be a professional basketball star because that is what his father demands of him.
That is Shake picking Ezekiel up by his straw, basically, and walking away. So now we have Shake actually kind of taking on this fathership role for Ezekiel. Previously, he was denying it, but now he seems to be embracing it, but really only under the preconception that, oh, well, Ezekiel's going to be this famous guy. He's going to be a basketball star, so I'll love him if he'll be famous and rich, and I can kind of benefit from that. One thing I want to mention here is Frylock says that eventually Ezekiel will work security at the mall. And speaking of Aquadonk side pieces, we mentioned it earlier because Patton Oswalt returns as the frat aliens in that YouTube series. If you're unfamiliar, in 2022, Aqua Teen came back with 10 YouTube shorts that you can watch absolutely for free, re-exploring some of the villains in 2022, some of those being the frat aliens like mentioned. Well, I want to mention the Breaky Bee Aquadonk side piece, which is really the cybernetic ghost of Christmas Past from the Futures mini episode there. In that one, Master Shake and Carl are working security at the mall, so a fun little connection there. Of course, if you have not seen the side pieces yet, they're very good. They're only like 3 minutes long. They're free on YouTube. Link to those in the description of this podcast. Something I want to address is the music that we hear throughout this episode. We heard it in the last clip. We're going to hear it again. That piece of music is called Home Life, composed by Roger Webb from the album Human Stories. And we've heard that music before on the podcast outside of this episode. We heard it on the previously mentioned PDA. We heard it on Season 4, Episode 1's Dirtfoot, so earlier this season. And we will hear it in future episodes. And if you are a patron, a Moonmaster, we heard it in Baffler Meal as well, which we covered over on the Patreon. So that is some production music used throughout Aqua Teen, and we're hearing it again here. So link to that production music in the description as well. Shout out to Video Killed the Radio Star over on YouTube, who does a fantastic job compiling this production music. Makes my life a lot easier. We're now going to be moving into a few sports passages on the episode here. Now, it's pretty fun. Two episodes ago on our season, we had the Bart Oates episode, which was full of football euphemisms. Well, now we're going to get some actual sports shots here. And starting off, we have basketball. Like Shake said, Ezekiel's going to be a famous basketball player. So we're going to a park. We've never seen this asset on the show before. It's just a park with a basketball court there. Nothing too descriptive to it, as in I don't see Bob really putting any jokes into it or anything like that, which is, you know, totally fine. That is that realism of Aqua Teen that makes the show work and makes it what it is. Having these realistic looking backgrounds with these fantastical characters on them. But we're at a park here and they are playing basketball. It is Meatwad and Frylock versus Master Shake and Ezekiel. And I guess Dewey, Meatwad's doll, who is a toilet paper tube, because Meatwad will be boxing Dewey in at some point in our clip here. We don't see Vanessa in this scene. She must have rotted away at some point and Meatwad didn't get a new apple to draw a face on. So there's going to be some great physical comedy here, which we don't get a lot in Aqua Teen for obvious reasons due to the limited animation of the show, but a lot of stellar stuff here. But the point of it all is that everybody kind of sucks at basketball, and also Shake is being super aggressive with Frylock. He's like jamming into him for no reason, then he's going to hit him towards the end of the clip, completely unnecessarily.
Ready?
Yes.
Achieve on three. One.
One.
Two.
Two.
Go Team
Go
Shake.
Go Team Shake.
Bounce pass. Pick a road, D. Hey, back to one. Come on. Yeah, they got us in the zone, D.
Will you get off me, Shake?
Personal foul. I cannot believe you did this. This is a friendly game, you asshole.
That's basically Shake. He goes to pass the ball to Ezekiel. He just kind of drops it on the ground, runs over to Frylock, starts elbowing into him, and then just smacks him on the face, and then blames Frylock for it. Completely hilarious. Let's jump back into our scene, because we have Meatwad there. He's like available. He's like, pass me the ball. Then he's going to go box Dewey in. And then we're going to see where the ball is, right? Because we haven't seen the ball at all. Shake just kind of dropped it. And then all this action started where they're pretending like they're actually playing basketball. Well, we're going to see the ball is just stationary on the ground while Ezekiel is laying on his back and he's holding some sort of weed that he picked at some point. He's not really having fun playing basketball.
Go on, food little rock. I'm down low.
Seven foul shots.
Meatwad,
right,
the man's
here.
Free over there. Get your man,
shut
Meatwad.
Up, boy. I got my man boxed in over here. You deal with your own business.
I want to play race car.
What are you doing standing around? Run to it. Don't let the ball come to you. You go to the ball. Now shoot. The clock's ticking. Two, one, shoot.
Okay, so little Zeke here, he stood up, he dropped his weed, and he picked the ball up. He's going to shoot it. But I'm getting vibes of my favorite Aqua Teen episode, which is Season 2, Episode 17's Kidney Car, because I like the way that Meatwad and Shake are kind of pretending to fix the car, or really Meatwad is. He's like really playing into the idea that he's fixing the car, even though he's not. That's what's happening here, too, is that they're pretending like they're playing basketball, but they're not. I'm actually surprised that Frylock is even playing along with this. Maybe he's doing it for Zeke's sake, because he realizes this is basically like a toddler that he's playing into it. But again, very clearly, there is no actual game of basketball being played. Ezekiel is picking up the ball, though, and he's going to make a shot. We're going to get a very dramatic sequence. This is all in slow motion. He's going to shoot the ball. It's going to bounce around the hoop a little bit. Ultimately, it's going to fall out of the hoop, and it's not going to go in, even though the entire time it looks like it will.
Come on, in the hole. Go in. Nothing but net. Yay! Yay! Go in! Get in that net, you crazy whore!
God, you suck at basketball.
Shake just being a complete asshole, you know, considering he sucks just as much as Ezekiel. In fact, I would argue Ezekiel is better because I don't anticipate that Shake could have made a shot that close if he tried. But I want to talk about this basketball a little bit, the asset itself. You might think it's a new asset. This is actually not. This asset dates back to Season 1, Episode 2's Escape from Leprechaunopolis. And I really want to thank Bob Pettit for that because, I mean, my memory is pretty okay. I can remember a lot of assets, but I did not remember that this was from Escape from Leprechaunopolis. We see it in that episode. It's one of the pieces of junk that the leprechauns had. It's just kind of nondescript laying around in that scene. Well, it's back here as the basketball they are playing with. Now, I'm not insinuating it's the same exact basketball in this world, but it's the same asset that we see here. So, a very fun, unexpected trivia bit, but Bob also explains that he created the shadow of the basketball on a separate Photoshop layer so it wouldn't spin with the ball, making the shots of the ball bouncing and spinning more natural. So if you look at the basketball, you'll see that certainly on the underside of it, it's darker. There's like a shadow to it, as you would expect, because the sun is above them. So if Bob kept this all on one layer while the ball is spinning, the shadow would be spinning with it. But like Bob explained, it's on a separate layer so they can keep this basketball looking realistic and having a shadow with it. However, speaking of shadow, there's noticeably no shadow on the ground in this scene. That would come down to the compositors, the animators, basically not Bob Pettit. I guess they just didn't have time to add a shadow to the basketball on the ground, at least. But it is a nice touch having that shadow on the ball itself looking realistic. And I do want to shout the animators out, though, because like the way the ball is spinning, the way it's bouncing, like they're doing a lot of work on this scene, so I don't mean to discredit them for the lack of a shadow, because they already had so much on their plate for this, because this is a lot more action than we normally get from like any other Aqua Teen episode, really. This has to be up there so far in the show's history for the most action in a scene. Bob also tells me about an asset made for this episode that didn't make it into the scene. Bob says, "I did a nice pair of basketball shoes for Meatwad, but they were never used. We used them in later episodes for Meatwad's rapper scenes." So Bob says he's going to post a picture of those on his social medias, his Twitter, his Instagram, when this episode drops. So make sure you're following Bob. That is Pettit_art on Twitter and Instagram. Link to his social medias in the show notes. I mean, at this point, I've told you about Bob's social media presence so many times. Hopefully you're giving him a follow, because lately he's been posting concept art and things like that in conjunction with these podcast episodes. So it's a little extension of the podcast over there. Give him a follow to see what's going on. Always a treat to see this stuff after spending time with these episodes. So jumping back into our scene, we have one last basketball clip. Shake is going to encourage Ezekiel to make a shot again, but Shake is going to slap the ball out of the air. The ball rebounds off Shake's hand and then hits Ezekiel, knocking poor Ezekiel over. Shake kind of runs after the ball, kicking it like he's really angry right now. He's going to just completely unload on poor Zeke, but luckily Frylock will stick up for the little guy.
Boom! Go back to your mama!
Now come here.
Why do you disappoint me? Second by second, you waste my time.
Shake, shake, shake. Let's just have some fun out here, okay?
Why? He sucks! Come on, sucky! Before you ruin the entirety of my future!
Shake?
The only reason God doesn't erase you from the face of the earth is because you amused him somehow!
Shake, you're out of line now!
Don't you tell me who's out of line! I'm his father! I know what's right for him!
So there Shake goes again, picking Ezekiel up by his straw, carrying him away. This time they're heading over to a tennis court. But this is a really well-written scene for me, because I'm really conflicted here. I feel really bad for Ezekiel, who's been nothing but a sweetheart the entire episode. Yeah, he's a tiny bit annoying, but he's supposed to be like this little kid. And you have Shake being horrible to him, but what Shake is saying is just so over-the-top funny that I can't help but laugh, even though I'm kind of sad at the same time. It's a very fun, conflicting scene here. And of course, you know, credits to all the Aqua Teen voice actors always, but Patton Oswalt's doing a great job here, convincingly playing this character, right? You know, crying like a little kid. You just can't help but feel bad for him, even though he may be annoying. And again, you know, it goes without saying, Dana Snyder doing a great job with this over-the-top explosive anger that we will continue to see throughout the episode. So let's head on over to the tennis court now. They're trying out tennis. I want to mention off the bat, this time we've had a bit of a costume change, or rather, they've put a bit of a costume on. We have Ezekiel and Shake on one side of the tennis court here, and then Frylock and Meatwad on the other side. They're all holding the same tennis racket asset. But to what they're wearing, they all have sweatbands on. So Ezekiel, he has sweatbands on his hands and on his head. his color being pink, white, and pink again. And then Shake has exactly the same setup, except his color is blue, white, blue. Then we see Meatwad and Frylock on the other side. Frylock's color is a bit of a tan white, and then purple, and then that tan color again. And then Meatwad's is blue, a tannish color, and then like a pinkish magenta. But I do want to mention that everyone else's sweatbands look rather new, while Meatwad's looks kind of gross. It looks a little bit used, which makes sense, considering he's a greasy old critter here. What's going to happen is Shake is just going to blast the tennis ball out of bounds. Like, he's just going to hit it out of the fencing, really. And then he's going to blame it on Ezekiel. This will cause Ezekiel to run out. Shake's going to have a meltdown. He's going to start bashing his racket on the ground. And eventually, Frylock will just explode the racket with his eye lasers. You know, save Shake the trouble.
All right, pal. You ready?
Yes.
One, two,
go Team Shake!
Okay, second serve now.
Okay, game.
Hey, foot-faulted! He foot-faulted!
I am a tennis star!
No, don't look at your feet! Keep your eye on the ball, and then maybe it won't go sailing off over the fence, you see?
But you hit it over the fence, boy, I saw.
Please do not undercut me in front of the child. I am 30 or 40 years old, and I do not need this.
Well, which one? Is it 30 or 40?
I don't know. Do you understand me? Thank you. That's nice.
We get these great reaction shots of the other characters just watching Shake have this meltdown until Frylock steps in. I was wrong here. Shake is not wearing a headband on the top. He only has the armbands. But a funny detail is that when Shake hits it, like, way over the fencing there, Meatwad actually swings his racket. Like, he's, like, kind of trying to hit it, even though there's no possible way he ever could. But of note there, a very, very famous Aqua Teen quote, "I am 30 or 40 years old, and I do not need this." This is the entire reason I was excited to turn 30 last year, is to drop that. I can't say I really do. I guess I'm not making the most of this opportunity, but knowing I have the option is nice. That makes all the difference. And this joke, of course, being iconic, as it should be, it's very, very funny. But this isn't entirely new for Aqua Teen. I want to shout out Season 2, Episode 13's Revenge of the Trees, where there is a bit of a discrepancy over Shake's age. There's a whole scene in that one where they go over that. So this kind of joke, not new, but the way that Shake just, like, matter-of-factly says this makes it way more iconic than the back and forth that happens over in Revenge of the Trees. But it's possible you've seen shirts and such with this saying on it, because it's funny as hell. It is fun seeing Shake angry, though, because that's an iconic part of earlier Aqua Teen seasons. And again, like, we don't see that a whole lot. They've changed the way that they use Shake as a character, so especially this season. So to see Shake literally shaking, pun not intended, with rage here is kind of a blast from the past a little bit, because his character traits in earlier episodes was just being pissed off. And he hasn't been that pissed off this season, or at least to this degree, but hey, we're getting it now. Don't worry about it. He's seething with anger, and when Shake feels this much anger, there's only one solution. It's a permanent solution. It is suicide. We cut over to Too Wicked, Carl's car parked in front of his house. I don't know why it's never parked in the driveway. I guess because then they'd have to draw it from opposite angles. I mean, I know Bob Pettit can do it, and I'm sure we'll see it in a later season. But yeah, kind of funny. Carl just keeps it on the side of the road, of course, this being convenient for staging purposes for the show. And Shake is in there, and the car is on, and he has a garden hose going from the tailpipe into the car where Shake is passed out. Carl will wake him up. Eventually, Carl will kick him out of the car because Shake didn't die because the windows rolled like halfway down. And he'll just hand Shake a little old knife to go kill himself the old-fashioned way.
Shake, wake up. What are you doing?
My son, he doesn't listen.
Look, whatever. Get out of my car. It's friggin' $3 a gallon. How long have you been running this engine? What, you think I should pay for this?
No.
Yeah, that's right. You're dead. You don't have to worry about it. Meanwhile, your bowels are leaking all over the dash, staining my shag carpet. That's friggin' authentic red leather that ain't cheap.
Yeah.
Smells like friggin' exhaust in here. You know why I had car wash people put cocoa butter smell in there? Because I want prostitutes to feel welcome. I don't want them to feel like it's a death trap.
I'm sorry, Carl.
It appears I failed you as well.
Look, I'm sorry. I should not have unloaded on you like that. Here's a steak knife. Go kill yourself on your lawn.
Oh, shit. What you doing?
I only want my son to feel guilty for what he's doing to me. Drag him out here so he can watch me slit my own throat.
Man, he's inside. Slaying the chest dragon.
This is so fucked up. Like, I like that Carl, he's being nice here, and his way of being nice is like, look, you can't kill yourself in my car. Take this knife and go kill yourself somewhere else. It's so messed up. And then Shake, like, he's doing this kind of for attention. He's doing this to punish Ezekiel, who, remember, is like a toddler. He doesn't know what the fuck is going on here. And this is all because Ezekiel isn't good at sports, when really it's Shake who's not good at sports, right? Like, there's so many layers to this. It's so hilarious. I like how extreme Shake is. Like, he goes from having this extreme meltdown over this fucking tennis game and a basketball game, when, again, I'm repeating myself, but he's causing the problems. He's not even really letting Ezekiel try and play. He goes from that, like, high anger, and also props to Dana Snyder for that acting again, to, like, being, oh, like, he's trying to kill himself. He's all dramatic. And again, props to Dana Snyder for bringing it down for those scenes, to just, like, pitying himself. And it's just crazy. It's all over the place. So this isn't our first time seeing Shake try and kill himself. Of course, I am brought to Season 3, Episode 1's Video Ouija, where he actually successfully does. And he does it similarly to this episode, where he takes the exhaust from Carl's car and he puts it in his mouth, and then he jumps into the pool with the piranhas, the toaster, all that stuff. Of course, we talked about all that in the Video Ouija podcast episode. But he was successful there, not so successful here. I do want to address something from Bob Pettit. Bob Pettit says, when Shake is asphyxiating himself in Carl's car, I think this is the first time that we see Two Wicked's window halfway down. And that checks out for me. I think that is the case. And I want to address what Carl says, because Carl says something about having red pleather, yet we can clearly see the interior is gray. It's not a red pleather interior. I think we've talked about pleather on the podcast before, but pleather, it's synthetic leather. It's not real. So it's funny. It's an oxymoron when Carl says his authentic red pleather, because it's authentic fake leather, which is great. But yeah, again, we could see it is gray on the inside, all of the interior. And maybe that's because, I don't know, maybe the interior got stained with the exhaust. Maybe Shake's leaky bowels turned everything gray. But of course, that is really just a discrepancy between the script and the art, because this interior was done years ago. But a fun little discrepancy there. But yeah, as you heard, Shake, he goes over to the Aqua Teen's house, but Meatwad meets him outside, and Shake's wanting to kill himself in front of Ezekiel. But then Meatwad's like, well, he's inside slaying the chest dragon. So from there, we go to Frylock's room, where we see Ezekiel is playing chess with the chest dragon. And visually, it's a super interesting design. So it's this weird structure. It's this robotic slash dragon thing. The top of it is think of like a king piece from chess. It's that design on top. And then it goes down to a base, so it's a bit like a tower-ish thing. But then coming out of the top of it, we have an actual dragon's head, so that the dragon's head isn't mechanical, as the body would suggest. Then it has arms as well, with dragon-like features on the hands, but there's no legs to it. It's just this weird platform thing. Underneath the head, there is a screen, which will show the chess moves it's going to make. And then in its left hand, it's holding a staff of sorts. So, very strange design, and we go into Frylock's room to see Ezekiel and the chess dragon playing chess, and Ezekiel is winning. He is playing white, chess dragon playing black, and I guess saying Ezekiel is winning is an understatement. He is dominating because Ezekiel has not lost a single piece. I've checked out the board. He's got all of his pieces on there. And Chess Dragon is down to just his king. So it's not looking too good for Chess Dragon. Chess Dragon is going to take 13 seconds to try and make a move. I'm going to cut that silence out. It's just 13 seconds of them looking at the board, basically. And Chess Dragon ultimately... he'll make a move. Ezekiel instantly will counter him because Chess Dragon is fucked here. There's nothing he could possibly do. Chess Dragon is going to get angry. He's going to do some illegal ass move. He's just going to like move his piece somewhere that he can't. Ezekiel's going to call him out. Chess Dragon is then, he's going to sprout his legs and he's going to fucking flip out. He like flips the board over. He starts blowing fire and then he runs down the Aqua Teens hallway out of there.
King E2, 2 E3.
Bishop e5 to d4, check.
King e3, 2, e 103.
You can't do that! That square does not exist! That is a blatant violation of the governing rules!
King suc 2, kit.
Checkmate! You're the hippopotamus!
Alright, yes, yeah, ain't nobody never beat Chess Dragon, not even me, and I'm retarded.
Okay, I love that line. Dave Willis kills that delivery. That's got to be one of my favorite Aqua Teen jokes. Oh, little meatwad. So something I like about this scene is that everybody like seemingly just knows what the Chess Dragon is. This is that yes and improv nature of Aqua Teen. Like I can just imagine Matt and Dave writing this one and somebody throwing that out there and like, yeah, they just go with it. Like they don't really explain to us who Chess Dragon is. We can kind of infer that he's really good at chess, but like you don't know anything about him. And I like that they don't dwell on that. Same thing as how they didn't dwell on where Ezekiel came from. It's just, yeah, he's slaying the Chess Dragon, and we go there and we see him do it, and everyone, you know, Meatwad high-fives him, and you could tell, hey, it's a big deal. Not even Meatwad could beat the Chess Dragon. So a fun scene there, very, very nonsensical. It's reminding you that even though we have this kind of character study of father and son and how shitty Shake is as a dad, it's still Aqua Teen. There's still these crazy Dadaist moments that really make no sense. But also to the story... this is significant because a lot of the episode is Shake being like, yeah, my son sucks at everything. He sucks at basketball. He sucks at tennis. But evidently, he's an insanely good chess player. I mean, we have to assume that Chess Dragon is a competent player at least, and Ezekiel not losing a single piece is insane. A cool part about that scene, too, is the fact that this episode hasn't been that special effects heavy. Now, we've had a lot of stuff going on with, like, the basketball playing, for example. But we haven't had, like, a ton of effects like some other episodes. But then there, when the Chess Dragon starts blowing fire, it kind of comes out of nowhere. It maybe catches you off guard a little bit with this crazy great particle effect that goes on there. It looks really cool. So it's almost like they saved the entire special effects budget for the episode for that one, like, little segment there. So let's move on to our final clip of the episode. Frylock's going to come in and he's going to relay some news to Master Shake. He's kind of like Maury in the sense of this scene here. And they'll talk about this news for a little bit. We'll learn a few things about Ezekiel here. And then the episode ends with Chess Dragon. He's a sore loser. He's going to crash through the ceiling. He's got wings now. He's going to crash through the ceiling. He's going to grab Ezekiel and then fly out.
This little guy be Chess Dragon?
That's right. My son, my seed, hath slain the Chess Dragon.
Yeah, about that, we need to talk.
What's there to talk about? The only talk I have is with the Olympic Committee.
No, I mean, he's not your son. I know you've never had sex.
I've hit that.
Hit what?
Booty.
What? Where? Who? With what?
I'll address each question as the time comes.
Look, I checked your DNA when you were passed out in Carl's car. There's no match. In fact, Zeke is older than you are.
I'm 4,000 years old.
Right. Like there's two talking milkshakes.
thing. I'm having an adventure.
There were.
And that's it. Cut to credits. There were two docking milkshakes. What a crazy ending there. And I should mention, to what you were hearing in the clip was, we saw Meatwad and Ezekiel over by the chessboard, and Meatwad was just pretending like one of the chess pieces was a car going, which is a flashback to, like I said earlier, my favorite Aqua Teen episode, Kidney Car.
Gordon Mach 1, engage warp speed. I'm late for work.
All right, so not only do we learn that Shake is not the father, obviously. I mean, we knew that. We know he hasn't had sex, and just a great little segment there of Shake avoiding all these questions. But we learn that Ezekiel is 4,000 years old. Like, he's this ancient being that the entire time we thought was a toddler. And this is really cool. So there's a common Aqua Teen trope of the entire episode, you think that the villain or the guest character is good, and then at the very end, they reveal that it's evil. I'm talking about, like, season 1, episode 3's Bus of the Undead, where we think Moth Monster Man is harmless until he lays his eggs in Carl's stomach and kills him or whatever. There's season 2, episode 15's The Shaving, where Willie Nelson, you think he's fine until the very end, it's revealed he has all these corpses up in the attic. And this is kind of turning that on its head a little bit, in that we learn a lot about this character at the last minute, but it's not that Ezekiel's a bad guy. It's just that he's not what he appeared to be, and that he's not like a little kid. He's 4,000 years old. And who knows, maybe whatever race or whatever kind of creature Ezekiel is, maybe 4,000 is still a toddler for them. Maybe he still has a long way to go. Nobody knows, and we will never know, because this is really the last time we ever see Ezekiel. We never see that character pop back up again. And we have the chess dragon grabbing him at the end and taking him away. You know, you could take this as chess dragon is a sore loser. He's going to kill Ezekiel for beating him. But I'm an optimist. I'd like to think that he's taking Ezekiel to his home planet, where Ezekiel will live as a god amongst kings, because Ezekiel is the best chess player of all time, and he'll have a good life over there. Maybe that's where chess dragon's taking him. Who knows? But at least at the end of the episode, we had a brief moment of Shake being proud of his, who we thought was his son, and Frylock, of course, disproving that with a DNA test. And there's two things to this. First of all, that is a throwback to earlier in the episode, or rather a callback, because towards the beginning of the episode, Frylock said he was going to do a DNA test, so that doesn't really come out of nowhere that he did one. But what's surprising is he says, yeah, I took your DNA when you were passed out in Carl's car. And there's a few implications to that. And I'm thinking of the fact that, first of all, Shake was trying to kill himself and Frylock didn't, like, stop it. Maybe Frylock rolled the window down. Maybe that's why the window is rolled halfway down. So maybe Frylock did stop Shake from killing himself. Because remember in Video Ouija, Frylock really doesn't want Shake to kill himself. He keeps trying, you know, he's upset about it, but that's not the case here, I guess, or maybe it was. But also, that this is kind of rude to Carl, that Frylock was like, yeah, you're fucking ruining his car and wasting his gas. I'm not going to stop this. Frylock could have turned the car off, but he didn't. Regardless, a hell of an ending to a hell of an episode. Such a good time. And before I go on to give you my final thoughts, as always, let's jump over and see what people were saying about this episode the week that it came out. And normally we head on over to the Toon Zone forums to discuss that. And don't worry, we will. But I actually found another forum thread from the week that Ezekiel came out. This over at rpg.net. So there is a link to this thread, as there will be a link to the Toon Zone thread in the description. But over on rpg.net, in the tangency section, because this is, you know, not anything to do with RPGs, this is in the other media subgroup of that, we have user Cannibal Smiliest, who made this thread, and the thread name is Ezekiel, possibly the best Aqua Teen Hunger Force ever. So Cannibal Smiliest says, okay, this season has had its ups and downs, but the latest, Ezekiel, is one of the funniest episodes of Aqua Teen that I've ever seen. Like, if you thought that Shake's behavior towards Meatwad was bad, wait until you see how he treats his own son. He hits new heights of selfish, egocentric prickishness, including the demand that his own son be brought out onto the lawn so that he can watch Shake kill himself over what a disappointment he is. There's like at least 4 killer lines in the whole thing. For example, Shake's description on how he likes to have sex. And it's even got Patton Oswalt. God, I love this fucking show. Smiley face. So, Cannibal Smileyus likes it a lot. He made this thread for what is not a cartoon or Aqua Teen forum. User Walla Walla comes in saying, Ezekiel is the first good ep I've seen all season, which, wow. So after that, there's some discussion on Chess Dragon. People enjoyed him. Let's hop on over to the Toon Zone forums. I just wanted to shout out this little RPG.net forum that I found. So on Toon Zone, JBanks97 says, easily one of the top 3 for this season. Decent plot. It was hilarious. It didn't have to rely on gratuitous violence to be funny. Then in parentheses, that's now a rarity. It was an old-fashioned Aqua Teen Hunger Force character-focused episode, and it was really, really, really funny. So Jay Banks digging this one, and I have to agree, yeah, there really isn't much violence here. Like, there's implied violence, but they don't resort to that or gross out humor in this one. It really is just that old-fashioned character-focused episode of Aqua Teen, like all of the earlier episodes were. User Go Bias, or Joe Bias, I don't know if this is a reference to Arrested Development. He says, throughout the episode, until the very end, I felt really bad for Ezekiel. That's a first for me with this show. Normally, I don't care about how any of the characters feel besides Frylock and Meatwad. Overall, it was really funny. I like how they said, I don't care about how any of the characters feel besides Frylock and Meatwad, which is like half of the cast, basically, considering there's a lot of episodes with just those 3 and Carl. But Gobias liked this one. However, the Mist comes in with some fire saying, wasn't really that funny, probably the worst of the season. I wish they would have explained. I'd be interested to know why somebody felt this was the worst of season 4. User Ahiru Kun says, after 7 episodes, Frylock finally uses his powers and shakes back to being a jerk. That's a good point. We haven't seen Frylock using his powers really most of this season, but we saw him here and he uses his powers to destroy Shake's tennis club. It's like, okay, of any other instance of when he could have used those powers, that's when he chooses to do it. But I guess, you know what? His powers, his choice. I'm not gonna fault the guy. There's a lot of comments here, so I'm just going to finish up with Hyper Shadow X saying, Ezekiel needs to return in a later epi. Unfortunately, we learn it never happens. I mean, I could do with an episode of just Ezekiel and Meatwad hanging out, although that might get old, I don't know. But that's what was going on the week that this episode aired. That's what people were saying about it. Some of the praise for it, mostly praise. This is one of those rare season 4 episodes where lots of people are just on board. So, jumping into my thoughts, again, in my mind, this was always just a classic Aqua Teen episode. This was one I looked forward to covering. Ezekiel as a character is so memorable, despite the fact that he doesn't really say a lot if you think about it. He says daddy a lot, and he cries a lot. Like, that's most of what he does. He does say other stuff. He does go into other stuff from time to time. But he's not a super personable character. He's very one-note, but it doesn't really ever get boring, because it's just kind of this means to get Shake to react in crazy ways, which is so fun. And again, we haven't seen a lot this season. Shake has been a bit more grounded in many episodes. So it's fun when he goes crazy mode, like just that this maniacal Shake screaming at this toddler, breaking stuff, having temper tantrums himself, threatening to kill himself. It's just nuts. And then at the end, when Ezekiel, like, beats the chess dragon, then Shake's all like, yeah, that's my son. He's all happy and proud. Like I mentioned earlier, this is more of kind of a slice of life Aqua Teen episode. Besides the whole chess dragon aspect, there aren't really any otherworldly components here besides, of course, these characters being talking food products. But I want to mention something that I heard Dave say in an interview about this episode. Of course, I'm still waiting to hear back from Dave Willis on this episode, but in 2007, in an interview with Collider.com, Dave mentions that while making this episode, he said, yeah, me and Matt, maybe we both had baby fatigue while writing this one, because at this point, I know that Dave had kids, and this is an example of them pulling from their lives. I mean, for example, with G-Wiz, where Meatwad gets pregnant and he's having these like pregnancy hormone issues, Dave, I think, mentions that his wife was pregnant around that time, and that's kind of like what inspired that or something. So this is kind of them drawing from their own lives in a way. And of course, making it crazy, like I don't anticipate that Dave is yelling at his kids like, no, you're not good at basketball. Like, obviously, that's craziness. But there is a bit of Matt and Dave pulling their own life into this. And I think that's what makes certain Aqua Teen episodes really just engaging. Matt and Dave will portray these kind of mundane slice of life things through this Dadaist, absurdist lens. So for example, Matt donates his car to the Kidney Foundation, then we have the Kidney Car episode, which is taking that and just going crazy with it. And like in the Meat Zone, Meatwad's eating caulk, and that's what's giving him his like visions. Well, that's because Dave was caulking something in his house when they were writing that. Like, they just pull these things from their lives and make it nutso. And I think that grounds Aqua Teen in a way that allows it to do these nutty things, but still feel like it's not just too random, which is something that, for me at least, for me personally, a lot of absurdist shows that came particularly to Adult Swim after Aqua Teen, they fail at that because they just got too crazy to the point where it's like, well, what even is this? Like, I can't relate to this. What is going on with this? Now, I'm not saying I can relate to these fast food products necessarily, but there are hints of humanity in them that Matt and Dave imbue. So this is an episode following that path that we have seen time and time again in Aqua Teen of, yeah, you know, Shake's being crazy with who he thinks is his son, but there is a kernel of human feeling there with Matt and Dave just maybe being exhausted fathers at this point in their lives. I like all the unanswered questions in this one. You know, how did Ezekiel get there? Like, he got dropped off with a car seat, apparently. We saw the car seat. Who is he? What is he? He's 4,000 fucking years old, Frylock discovered. Which, by the way, kind of sad. He's 4,000 years old and he didn't have a name, I guess. That's pretty depressing. Although, maybe he did and he just forgot it. I don't know. But where does the chest dragon take him? What is the chest dragon? Like, there's all these loose ends that in a lot of other shows would leave you upset, unhappy about that. But in Aqua Teen, to me, is very fun, and it makes this world feel bigger than it really is, bigger than they could make it themselves because of the budget that they had. Something I forgot to mention at the end of the episode is when Chess Dragon flies away, we see a hole in the roof, we can see into the attic. Now, we don't see Willie Nelson pop out and wave or anything, we don't see any dead bodies, but have to wonder what Willie Nelson thought about all that ruckus. But to touch on kind of what I've been saying, something I said earlier, is just the fact that this is returning to that earlier Aqua Teen formula, but instead of Shake terrorizing Meatwad, which they stopped doing, really, they have Shake terrorizing Ezekiel. So I think it's just like a classic kind of Aqua Teen formula. But in this case, since Meatwad isn't getting terrorized himself, Meatwad can kind of do a bit more. He can participate more in just the joke-telling. Like, we don't get a ton of Meatwad this episode, but the few times we get him, it's pretty impactful. And same thing with Carl. We don't have a lot of Carl here, but it never feels tacked on. Like, the opening with Carl is great when he's just, like, instantly just like, nope, next door, jackass. Like, he's not dealing with Ezekiel. And then again with him dealing with Shake trying to kill himself in his car, which, of course, being a flashback to previous episodes. So it's interesting, ultimately, the way that this episode plays with established Aqua Teen tropes. It plays with a lot of Aqua Teen tropes here, but it feels wholly new. It doesn't feel like it's just retreading old ground for ratings or anything like that. It feels uniquely of itself, and that shows all these years later, you know, 18 years later as of this recording, that people love this episode and were so excited to cover this one on the podcast and for us to spend time with it. And I think that kind of speaks for itself. So having said that, I have to give this one 5 double-wrapped Johnsons out of 5 because it's fucking Ezekiel. I couldn't give it any less. It's such a fun time. I think the episode lives up to its hype. I think it does. There's great quotes here, great moments. It's just an episode that only Aqua Teen can do, and those are my favorite Aqua Teen episodes. So that's my thoughts on it. If you want to let me know your thoughts over on Instagram, you could find me at Aqua Teen Pod. Link in the description to this podcast episode. As always, I'll be putting up a post corresponding with this episode. Let me know what you think about it, especially if you don't like Ezekiel. I'd be interested to know why, because all I've really seen is people explaining why they like it. On Toon Zone Forum, found somebody saying they didn't like it, but they didn't explain why. So I'd love to know your thoughts, like it or not. I want to know. Otherwise, that is it for me this week. As always, thank you for hanging out, talking teens with me. Thank you to Bob Pettit for his help on this one. I actually messaged Bob really last minute with some questions because I didn't think I had any questions for him initially, but then I came up with some. So he went and watched the episode within like a day of getting the email and got back to me right away. So thank you, Bob. Thank you to Vinny and Drew B for signing up to the Patreon. And again, that is patreon.com/dancingisforbidden. I love doing this podcast and I can only do it because of the support over there. And I know we are in our Fortnite Battle Pass era because I'm only putting out episodes fortnightly. I would love to go back to doing it weekly, but we would need a bit more support over there. So if you would like more episodes, or at the very least would like me to keep doing this podcast, that is the best way to ensure I can do that. Otherwise, I got some top-tier Moonmasters to shout out. First up, our Highlander, Nick.
There can be only one!
There's only one time Ezekiel shows up in Aqua Teen, just like there's only one Nick. And of course, gotta shout out our number one in the Hood G tier patrons, Sean, Ian, Captain Buford, Robison, Jason, Carl, Lecheratone69, Empower706, SwimWiki, Lervinator, Tegan, Thorin the Grumpy Dwarf, Garrick, Jonathan, and Calixto. You guys can have 65 cents for the bus any day of the week. I'll see you on Monday, April 8th, when we dive right into the last episode of this season, Carl Wash, which actually, a fun fact for you before we head out of Ezekiel here, is that Ezekiel is the last proper episode of 2006, since Carl Wash, we get a rough draft in 2006, but the full episode doesn't air until 2007. So hey, I'll see you on that one. Till then, keep it cool, take it easy. Bye-bye.
Dancing is forbidden. Dancing is forbidden.
12:45 a.m., we get 12-ounce mouse with God damn it. Why, Matt? Why does it have to be so goddamn hard to pronounce? Oh, is this an actual word? Oh my god. It's this... a critical or discursive introduction to a book. What? What does that mean? Discursive? Digressing from the subject... oh, digressing from subject to subject. Okay. A critical or, like, I guess a different part. Okay. Oh, wait. Prolegomenon. Oh, okay. Prolegomenon. All right. Now I know how to say it. Thanks, Google. 12:45 a.m. We have our last new episode of the night. We have 12-ounce mouse with prolegomenon.